Hello, and welcome to the Wizz Air Q1 results call. Throughout the call, all participants will be in a listen-only mode, and afterwards, there'll be a question and answer session. Just to remind you, this conference call is being recorded. Today, I'm pleased to present Wizz Air CEO, József Váradi, and Executive Vice President and CFO, Jourik Hooghe. Please begin your meeting.
Thank you very much. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining this earnings call. I'm actually pleased to present that we are reporting a fairly strong quarter relative to the circumstances. We have been progressively recovering capacity during this quarter and beyond in the current quarter as well. It's been based on a very agile movement in the marketplace, and I think we have been displaying that level of agility since the breakout of COVID-19. Whether it is ramping up capacity or winding down capacity, depending on the circumstances. I mean, clearly, we are seeing a better marketplace with regard to the regulatory framework going into peak summer, and we are trying to take advantage of that through the progressive ramp-up. With regard to liquidity, this is the first quarter that ended up cash flow positive. That's a major milestone to hit. I think that kind of differentiates us from most of the industry with that regard, and we closed the quarter with 1.7 billion euros of cash. It was a strong cash performance. I mean, the business is very focused on cash. We have been very focused on liquidity since we got into COVID-19 mode. We maintained investment-grade credit with Fitch and Moody's. This is important because we continue to tap into the capital market for financing aircraft, and our credit rating is an important input to that process. As said, we have been progressively recovering capacity. While it was only 33% of our 2019 capacity that we operated in the quarter reported, it is now 90% in July, ramping up to 100% in August. And with that, we will be the first major European airline that will be fully recovered from COVID-19 with that regard. We are somewhat cautious about what we can expect and how to guide or not to guide when it comes to the second half of the financial year, given all the outstanding issues on new variants, and we simply just don't know how governments will react to it and what measures will prevail and will be put in place post-summer. I mean, we went through last year. It was a fairly open market last year, which got closed completely after that. So hopefully, this is not gonna be that bad this time around, if at all, we'll be negative. But given the level of uncertainty, I think we are somewhat cautious with our predictions when it comes to the second half of the financial year. Nevertheless, we are very confident in our ability to take advantage of the COVID-19 reset. I mean, the great news yesterday at the AGM was that now all stars are aligned. I think it's very clear that shareholders, the board of directors, management, the employees all want to accelerate the growth of the company, and we are looking at delivering 20% annual growth in the next 5 years. So, and we are setting ourselves up against a 500 aircraft airline before the end of the decade. And I think that vision is now fully aligned across all interested parties, and we are putting the plans in place to make sure that actually we are delivering on that mission. And I think COVID-19 has given us a significant source of competitive advantages through the fleet renewal program. We have been growing our fleet. We have been innovating our fleet. Our fleet is getting younger, and I think this is a huge competitive advantage coming out of COVID-19, operating a younger, upgauged fleet versus an aging fleet of competitors. And also, as we have been saying for quite some time, we have well-diversified our markets. We have created a much extended network footprint during the COVID period, and that enables us not only to recover faster than the rest of the industry, but also to grow from that base much more robustly, again, giving us a significant competitive advantage. So we are very confident in our ability to to emerge as a structure, you know, from COVID-19 and mature that position over the next 5 years when it comes to growing the business, actually accelerating the growth of the business. So moving on to the next slide, page 3, you can see the key business metrics on this slide. I mean, this is really more of an update. We carried 3 million passengers, 3 times more than last year in the quarter we reported. So clearly, 2021 is a better place than 2020 was. We have continued to grow our fleet with 141 aircraft. That's 27 more than what we had a year ago, so that's a significant growth. And you can see that we continue to invest into fleet. And while we have not been able to operate all these aircraft, we think that this is a major structural source of competitive advantage in the future. We continue to open new airports, 3 more during the year, and of course we added a lot of new operating bases during this period in line with the market diversification strategy. So we have been very active during this period, so yes, it may be seen as a short-term pain because we are putting more financial burden short-term on the company, but clearly this is for the long-term gain. As we are building new markets and we are building a much more competitive operating and business platform than ever before. So I would fairly say that Wizz Air today is a more formidable airline than what we were 2 years ago prior to COVID-19. And with that, let me just turn it over to Jari.
All right. Thank you, Joe. On page 4, on the financial performance for the quarter, revenue was short just of 200 million. Which I said was based only on operating around a third of our capacity. Given the low levels of capacity utilized, we recorded a net loss of 140 million euro. The underlying loss was quite similar at 180 million euro, as the impact of discontinued hedges was minimal. As Joe mentioned, the cash position for the quarter evolved positively versus last quarter, up almost 50 million euro versus last quarter to reach 1,663 million euro. We'll give some more color on this later. On the slide 5, some further perspective about our cost performance, and we've added here on the slide the F20 Q1 cost just for reference. And obviously, you'll not be surprised that on quite a number of lines, like crew, maintenance, and depreciation, the low utilization of fleet and crew keeps us away still from the cost levels that we used to have pre-pandemic. Now, on the other hand, we are very confident that we go back to those cost structures of before as we go back to normal levels of operation, and it will allow us to be more competitive versus pre-COVID-19, given the focus on our network, the closure of long-term airport deals, and the fleet renewal, which will come across every single P&L line in this sheet. On slide 6, a little bit deeper, a little bit more perspective on cash. As said, we delivered a good performance on cash despite flying only a third of our capacity. We continue to operate in line with the principle to only operate cash-positive flights, and that led to the cash accretion, which you can see here in the slide. And obviously, the strong liquidity in combination with our business model, in combination with our ability to ramp up in an agile and fast way, continues to support our investment-grade credit rating. On slide 7, if you continue to peel the onion on the cash performance, you can see that the operation before working capital burns around 140 million euros for the quarter. Recall, if you would not have operated a single flight, that burn rate would have been closer to 210 million euros for the quarter. So the operation of only a third of our capacity in difficult circumstances, given that all of the restrictions are still around and there's constant changes in those restrictions, delivered a very significant amount of positive contribution. Unflown revenue helped the working capital as we collected revenue for July bookings mainly, and then currency effects was a small hurt on the quarter. Continuing on to page 8 on ancillary revenue, you can basically see that we continue the usual strong performance on ancillary. Obviously, a large part of that is still driven behind the COVID-19 related context, which is the context of higher pricing given lower capacity flying, and the context of certain products that have a higher uptake than maybe in a normal operating environment. So we expect that ancillary revenue will normalize starting also next quarter when we fly higher capacity. And over time, it will align again with our long-term target of €1 per passenger per year increase. And with that, Joseph, back to you.
Thank you, Jourik. So next slide, page 19, is sort of setting out the key focus areas of the business. So first and foremost, we are restoring the fundamentals of our Arch low-cost model. I mean, just a few highlights. I mean, obviously, aircraft utilization is one of the key issues of the model. Now we are reaching 10 hours plus versus our historical performance of 12 plus hours. So we still have a gap, but we have made up quite a significant gap so far, and we continue to push for getting back to normalized level of fleet utilization. In the meantime, as you know, we are upgauging the fleet. Just to give you some perspectives here, so today the average seat count is 207, and in about 18 months, this is going to cross the 220 line. So it's a significant upgauging. As you know, we are taking 239 seat race with 21 NEO aircraft, and that pushes this line. I mean, this is a significant source of efficiency and cost reduction for the business. Our load factor performance at the moment is 80%+. I think it's on the way to get ramped up. This is still far away from the 95-96% load factor levels in 2019, but certainly significantly better than what we saw before, 60%, low 70%. So there is a positive movement there as well. Obviously, we are restoring productivity of our workforce. In the company, I think we have ramped that up quite quickly going into summer. So we are operating and at full steam now. I'm sure that you will have a question about the hiccups in the last few days. This is all behind us. I think we fixed our operational issues. I mean, we ended up with a much greater level of disruptions coming from the underperformance of the supply chain, especially airports and ground handling companies, basically putting our schedule and roster upside down. As a result, we were running out of resources, but now this is all stabilized, and I think we are back to normal, and we don't have to cancel any more flights any longer, other than ATC strikes and those sort of events. But I think this is a genuine issue to the industry. We have a stronger and more diverse network than before. Now we are maturing and consolidating that that network. I mean, clearly, our network strategy remains kind of on three pillars, core being Central East Europe. We continue to invest in Central East Europe. That's our bread and butter, our core market. But on a selective basis, we have made significant investments in expanding our presence in Western Europe as well. In the United Kingdom, in Italy, in Austria, and we'll continue to follow through those investments and grow our presence in these markets. And as said before, we started with Abu Dhabi, and once the market becomes less restricted, that will give us significant growth opportunities for that airline. We are driving our leadership in sustainability. We think that Wizz Air is through the best positioned airline. We are already the greenest operator of any airline in Europe, and that will be even more the case going forward. Our fleet age is going to come down. Again, today we have a bit more than 5 years average age of the aircraft. This is going to come down to below 4 years in the next 3 years. As we are investing a lot into technology, into innovation, we are going to certainly benefit from that, not only from an economic standpoint, but also from a sustainability standpoint. And we will continue to make investments into our digital platforms. So obviously, the two key focus areas are how we interact with the consumer, how to make sure that we are efficient in transactions, and also personalized in terms of approaching our customer base. And at the same time, we are trying to create more efficiencies through investing into digital platforms when it comes to the operation of the entity, when it comes to the operating platform of the airline. Next page, this is just showing how we have been ramping up the business. So you can see that load factors have been improving throughout the last few months, now coming up to 80%+ level, and you know we are expecting to see some further improvements going into peak summer, and also we've been able to ramp up capacity along these lines now well above 90% level, and as said, we are looking at 100% capacity to be recovered in August, being the first major airline in Europe that will be fully recovered versus 2019 operating levels. Moving on to the next slide, page 11, this is showing you the updated fleet chart. Maybe some important notes here. We advanced 10 aircraft deliveries in summer 2022. So as you can see, we are actually quite bullish in our view how the market is going to play out for us going into next summer. So it seems that the current financial year may still be regarded as a transition year to the next financial year, but certainly we are getting absolutely ready for next summer to fully exploit our opportunities coming from the various markets as I just portrayed to you. So we are accelerating growth to make sure that we are capturing these new market opportunities. And this is a bit of a moving target. I mean, we keep reviewing our fleet plans. It has been quite organic in a way, so numbers are moving. And as said, yesterday was an important day because all stars are now aligned, and it is very clear what's expected from this business to deliver. And we are looking at enhancing our fleet delivery program to meet the 20% annual growth target in the next 5 years. Moving on to the next slide, this is just giving you some insights on market restrictions. This business continues to operate under restrictions across our network. You can see that basically totally unrestricted markets are fairly minimal, 10%, top 10% going into summer. So basically 90% of our markets are restricted one way or another, some severely, some less so. If you look at it from the perspective of vaccinated, fully vaccinated people, roughly around 70% of our markets are free to travel for fully vaccinated people. If you look at the country breakdown, you see that Central East Europe is sort of leading the way of recovery coming out of this this situation, the UK being fully restricted. Having said that, given the announcement just made yesterday, we are expecting the UK to also step up and to become a better market for travelers, especially if you are fully vaccinated. Page 13, the next slide, is showing the market share development. I would say that we are not obsessed for market shares, and that's not really driving our business. Having said that, I think our agile decision-making certainly translates into market share gains. You can see that as the market gradually started opening up in May and through the summer months, we are gaining significant market shares as a result of our faster ramp-up than the rest of the industry. But really, they are driven by financial performance, and they are making network decisions and capacity allocation decisions on the basis of expected financial performance. So with that, let me just hand it over to Jörg.
Yeah, just two slides on sustainability. A lot of players in the industry are talking about sustainability, obviously including ourselves, but we thought it was a good idea to distill discussion back to some of the key facts. And the first set of facts here is published by TPI. They publish past emissions and targeted emissions in the future in gram per revenue tons, kilometers, and you know, whereas we prefer to express the intensity in revenue passenger kilometers, the message is essentially the same. I mean, clearly, it is clear that Wizz Air is leading the industry with the lowest emission intensity, not only today, but also in terms of commitment for the future. And by the way, this is now baked into the incentives plans for the CEO and the other executives. You will recall that we have a emission target of 43 gram per RPK for F30, while, for example, Ryanair has 60 gram per RPK as the targets. And then pretty much all the other players, they talk a lot, they commit very little, and they deliver even less. So it's then really interesting to juxtapose those results and those commitments with scores from rating agencies like Sustainalytics. And whereas Sustainalytics in general does a great job to sort through all the stories airlines are telling, it is clear that if you know that 70% of the weighting of Sustainalytics scores, they go against the environment, it's clear that Lufthansa should not be leading that rank. So I think we all have a responsibility here, and investors have a responsibility to look through the marketing and lobbying that airlines are doing, and they should invest and rally behind those companies that are really trying to make a difference. So let's focus on the facts, and let's focus on what matters. On the next slide, I think it's another example of that. When we talk about Fit for 55, it is clear that the EU has kind of lost its ways when it comes to what needs to happen to tackle emissions. As a company, we cannot support policies that exclude emissions for cargo flights or exclude emissions for extra EEA flights, which in combination cause more than 65% of pollution in the aviation industry. So how can companies on the one hand target to lead Sustainalytics and other rankings, and on the other hand lobby to exempt more than 50% of their emissions from environmental policy? So Fit for 55 is nothing short of market distortion. It's encouraging wasteful consumption by flying the most inefficient, paid-back carriers in the industry. And clearly, we're advocating for a clear level playing field on kerosene taxation, for a clear avoidance of double taxation between kerosene tax and airport tax. And hopefully, we're not the only one raising our voice, and we can count on support from others, other stakeholders, other investors, and policymakers to kind of stop this madness. So with that, I turn it back to Joe for a closing remark.
Thank you, Yannick. Very true on all these sustainability initiatives. So let me just summarize this presentation. So importantly, we closed a cash-positive quarter. We maintained investment-grade balance sheet. These are very important liquidity measures, critical given the current circumstances. We are becoming fully recovered this summer versus 2019 capacity levels, and we'll be the first major European airline to achieve that. Vaccination is an important issue because it seems that vaccinated passengers will be more free to travel, will be permitted to travel, so they will play a very important role in our full recovery or partial recovery during the second half of the financial year. We believe we've got strongly improved competitive positions during the pandemic, resulting from our extended market footprint as well as our continued fleet renewal. Simply, we are a better airline today relative to the rest of the industry in terms of strategic levers on hand when it comes from the market or it comes from the cost performance of the business. And we're seeing that being the lowest cost producer is critically important in a commodity where lowest cost prevails and lowest cost wins. By this year, fiscal 22 may be seen as a transitional year. We believe that we are well on track to return to our proven ULCC model in the next financial year, not only including the operating metrics of the business, such as fleet utilization, workforce productivity, or load factor performance, but also with regard to delivering our profit targets and financial KPIs, including our growth ambitions. And just to say that again, our stars are aligned to deliver 20% annual growth in the next 5 years, and we are going to align our plans actually to make sure we are on track to deliver these following the AGM yesterday. And with that, I would like to close the presentation and turn it over to questions, please.
Thank you. If you do wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. If you wish to withdraw your question, you may do so by pressing 02 to cancel. Our first question is from Mark Simpson of Goodbody. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Yeah, morning. Couple of questions. First one, regarding kind of capacity and staffing levels. I believe it's right that you've got some wet leases sort of within the current scheduling, which kind of suggests you've got the aircraft, but suggests that you're short on staff. So I wonder if you could sort of address that, and also why you are confident that as you add 10 A321neos to next summer schedule, you know, that you'll be appropriately staffed for that acceleration. On top of that, those aircraft that you've now targeted to bring in, can you give us an idea about allocation geographically where those aircraft will go? Another question just on the longer-term targets that you just laid out there, 500 aircraft by the end of the decade, essentially it suggests you're going to have another mega order in the next 3 years and a kind of schedule, you know, thereafter to the end of the decade. Otherwise, you'll be taking in 70, 80 aircraft a year for the last 3 years. I'm just wondering your thinking on a further revision to the schedule you have currently, 268 aircraft by the end of March 27, but it looks as though you're going to have to change that profile as well. And then finally, just a quick one, carbon cost. You've put up your hedging on jet fuel, but can you give us an idea of what you're thinking about hedging on your carbon exposure?
All right, thank you. Well, let's start with capacity. You must have read the rubbish coming out of Ryanair. you seem to be elaborating on that. What happened was that we ran into some operational hiccups resulting from the underperformance of the supply chain, especially a number of airports and a number of ground handling companies, really deteriorating our on-time performance. As a result, we started shifting on the rosters, and in order to be able to meet the legal requirements, i.e. 100 hours per month duty time per crew, we ran out of roster per crew for 3 to 4 days. Now, this is all stabilized. We have created buffer for the system, and I think we also put some pressure on the supply chain to improve. So I think these issues are behind us, and well, all the five of our competitors we were talking about were really rubbish, and most of it was just a simple lie. And I don't wanna comment on that. But most importantly, structurally, maybe the way to look at this is that we are in the process of hiring, training, and onboarding around 600 people, and that's very short term. And basically, every day there are new recruits coming online. So that is going to give us a very comfortable margin for the next few months. But if you really think about this, we are heavily ramping up operations to deliver the 20% growth. So recruitment has become an ongoing activity, but we've already started and we'll continue to do going forward. I mean, we are talking about, thousands of people to be hired in a fairly short space of time. So we need to make sure that every week, there is recruitment going on, training going on, onboarding going on, and this is going to become ongoing from here. I mean, let's not forget that in the last period of time, we were more in restrictive mode to kind of mirror the restrictions out there and our inability to fully ramp up and operate our capacity. But now I think the tide has changed, and we just want to make sure that again we are coming ahead of the curve. So rest assured that this issue was temporary, largely because of the operation and the underperformance of the supply chain. We reacted to it, and we have a few wet leased aircraft at the moment, but within a month or so, these aircraft will be phased out, and our entire operation will be returned to our own aircraft. So I think I'm pretty confident with regard to being able to stuff what we need. I mean, let's not forget that Wizz Air remains probably the most attractive airline, certainly in Europe, to offer career opportunities and advancement opportunities for its employees. And we have been making that very valuable employee proposition historically, and I think we are going to make it also going forward better than anyone else. And I think that will make us a very attractive target for pilots, cabin crew, and talented managers. With regard to allocating aircraft, we are allocating aircraft as the market opportunities arise. Clearly what you see is that by diversifying our networks throughout the pandemic period, we have captured a number of new markets. Italy is certainly a strategic market. It's an investable market, and we will be bringing more aircraft, more operating bases, more routes to the party, and that will be ongoing. So you should be certainly expecting a lot more activities coming out of Wizz Air when it comes to Italy. We also think that the UK is an investable market, and we will have to see how restrictions evolve. I think it's great news that it seems next week the market is opening up and will become accessible for travelers who are fully vaccinated. That should be a booster to demand. And we shall see how all this slot hysteria is going to evolve in the UK. I think, again, it's very disappointing. Or maybe I would even say that this is a continuous defraud of public interest, of what's happening in the UK when it comes to protecting these just a few particular airlines at Gatwick and not allowing other airlines like Wizz Air to come into the market. We are fully recovered. We could move. That's not our problem, that others have not been able to recover because of their big liquidity position and that there is no demand for their products by consumers, but we are there and we are ready to go. And still this history keeps going on with slots in the country. So we shall see how that evolves and what opportunities that creates, but I think the UK is an investable market. Central and East Europe, no doubt, that's our core. That's our bread and butter, and we'll continue investing into these markets pretty much across the board. And then we have Wizz Air Abu Dhabi, which is yet to be ramped up. It is yet a restrictive market, but once restrictions are removed or eased, we will follow that through with more capacity. Clearly, what we are seeing now is that all those green corridors that we are operating, we are seeing a significantly improved performance there. So we are very encouraged with the short-term progress we have made in Abu Dhabi. With regard to the aircraft order, indeed, 500 aircraft may require a new aircraft order or new aircraft orders, but let me not comment on that. Once we are there, we will certainly let you know. There is a rule here that you buy aircraft when the time is right for buying aircraft, not when you think you need the aircraft. So we shall see how this is going to play out. And indeed, as you said, as we are accelerating growth, we are reviewing the existing delivery schedule with the view of accelerating it. So quite likely what we are seeing today remains a moving target, and the delivery schedule will become more aggressive once adjusted.
And then on the last question, Mark, as we commented last time, indeed on carbon, we have a third of the network that is not exposed to carbon credits, a third which is covered by free credits, and then a third which is covered to market, which is exposed to market pricing. And indeed, we're not hedging for that last third.
Okay, thank you. And Joseph, just to reference the comments about the wet leasing, was a Romanian media outlet and a Wizz Air spokesman, Andrus Rado. So wasn't quoting Ryanair there.
But I thought to Mark, a few years ago, O'Leary couldn't even spare the word Wizz. I'm glad that he's spending half of his presentations on us. So I think it's a good program.
Betty, thanks for that.
Thank you. Our next question is from Muni Bakiani of Bank of America. Please go ahead.
Hi, two questions from me, please. Firstly, just in terms of bookings, where are they currently now compared with 2019 at these levels? And how should we be thinking about overall loads and pricing for the second quarter? And then just on the cost side of things, you mentioned that costs would normalize as capacity kind of goes back to normal levels. Could you just help quantify that? Do you expect unit cost ex-fuel to be lower than pre-crisis levels, and by how much, and should we expect that in fiscal year 23, please? Thank you.
Maybe I'll start with the demand side. So Bookings are quite in line with 2019 levels. I mean, you know, as said, we are looking at fully recovering capacity versus 2019. We are not going to get the same load factors. I mean, at that time, we operated 95%+ load factors. I think we're probably going to have a 10 percentage points deficit in August, but clearly we are heading the right direction with that regard. It's over capacity in the market, so that that will drag down the yield, and it is dragging down the yield of the market. I mean, Europe is a seasonal market. Every airline is trying its chances during the peak summer, so obviously everyone is back in the party with as much capacity as they can operate to try to get some liquidity out of the market to survive winter. So it is clearly creating over capacity versus demand, and it's a lower yielding business than what you would expect usually from the market this time of the year. But, you know, from our standpoint, looking at the long-term strategic positions are far more important than looking at the short-term matters. We'll have a reasonable quarter in the current quarter. I'm not trying to speculate in terms of profitability, but we'll have a reasonable quarter with that regard. But clearly, I think that we are structured in a much better position. We are more formidable, more competitive. We have lower costs relative to the rest of the industry. So we are happy to compete for future market positions.
On the cost side, indeed, I mean, as utilization of our assets normalize, we believe that the costs will go back to let's say pre-pandemic levels. Will they be better? Could be. I mean, if you look at all of the benefits that we'll get through this lead, in theory, we would be in, let's say, have a rise or a basis to see lower costs. I mean, much will depend on how much inflation there will be in that period as well on some of the other lines. So we need to see. But clearly, I mean, we're well set up from a cost point of view to go back to pre-pandemic levels as soon as we hit normal utilization levels of the assets.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from James Holland of Exxon BNP Paribas. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, guys. A few from me, please. First one's on ancillaries. You talked about them sort of returning to normal. I was wondering what the sort of you expect the steady state ancillaries per pax to be. Obviously, it was about €30 pre-COVID, over 40 in full year 21, 38 in the quarter just gone. So I'm wondering where you'd see those and whether you expect that sort of steady state for Q2 for the summer. I think you'd guided to that. Secondly, 100% capacity in August. You've talked about only flying cash generative flying. We've also talked about building kind of a full schedule, taking market share, etc. Would August still be only cash generative flying, or is it about building the schedule back in? The final one, you've clearly focused on growth, UK, Italy, Austria, in terms of that Western European growth. I'm wondering if there's anywhere else you would be thinking of expanding. I see you've got 11 new bases in the past year. And were your views on Gatwick expansion, given it looks like the UK will go to a 50-50 slots rule for this winter? Sorry, there's a few in there, but love your thoughts. Thank you.
Maybe I start on ancillary and the principle that we use for flying. So on ancillary, I mean, you're right. I mean, it will normalize as we go to, let's say, normal utilization again of assets. If S20 was around 31, S22 should be around 33, maybe a little bit higher because there's kind of some restrictive quarters in there, like the one we just closed. And you know, as long as there's a lot of restrictions around, we see slightly higher ancillary revenue than our projection of €1 increase per year per passenger. So I hope that helps to answer the question. On the principle for flying, I mean, we've kind of started to pivot from cash generation to again, margin accretive flying because, you know, for summer quarter, definitely we want to be looking at you know, higher thresholds to operate as we're ramping up, a higher portion of the fleet. So cash positive flying is something that obviously is a minimum, but we're looking really at profitable operations, and that kind of becomes the new norm again. And hopefully if it continues to see a straight line of recovery, which may not be fully out there, we can continue to kind of go back to a normal operating model.
Well, I can certainly confirm that every market we are flying at this point in time is cash positive. With regard to Western European growth, indeed, these are the key markets, Austria, Italy, and the UK. And these markets are kind of coming out of COVID-19 slightly differently. We are very positive about our strategic position we have been able to be during the pandemic times in Italy. I think we are very well set to win in the country. As said, we have 6 operating bases, and clearly we are seeing great maturity. We are growing through when it comes to financial performance, so we are very positive. If you look at the UK, that's on the other end of the spectrum, I would say that, I mean, long term we remain very positive on the UK, and we're seeing definitely this is an investable market. But short term, this market is more puzzled due to government restrictions. The UK has been more restrictive than continental Europe, and also due to the slot issues in the country. And as I said before, I think we are very disappointed with the way this whole slot matter is going in the UK. I think that the lobbying power of a few airlines is just overwhelming and overweighing the public interest, and that's really bad. And I think it would require some higher level intervention to stop this and let the market sort this out. And if you are an airline who is incapable of ramping up, then you should leave way to airlines that actually are capable of ramping up, are capable of bringing capacity and network to the market, stimulating economic activities and stimulating employment as a result. So Gatwick is not in a good place at this point in time, and I'm sorry for the airport. And I think we just heard the CEO that he also expressed his disappointment with what is happening in the UK.
Thanks very much. If I may, just reminded me actually, our Irish friends on I think it was Monday, were talking about market consolidation, 20% lower intra-European capacity in 2022 versus 2019. You talked about the summer actually capacity being very high, or certainly relative to demand. I was wondering if you had a view on 2022 intra-Europe capacity versus 2019 as you see it and as is in your planning. Thanks.
Well, I mean, I don't have the crystal ball. He may have it. But, if you look around the world, if you look at Chinese domestic, U.S. domestic, those markets recovered incredibly quickly and actually both are performing above 100% levels versus 2019. And Europe, intra-Europe is not the same as U.S. domestic or Chinese domestic for sure, because you see some constraints and restrictions applied for international travel. So I don't think it's a straight comparison, but what I'm seeing is that once the restrictions are lifted, the market recovers very quickly. So travelers are back in the market pretty much overnight. So I think it all depends on the market conditions for next summer. If it's largely an unconstrained market, I think intra-Europe would go significantly better than 80%. If it's a somewhat constrained market, then maybe 80%. So I don't have a number in my mind. Obviously, we need to look at the situation, how that evolves, and we would need to adjust our plans and capacities accordingly. But I have all the confidence in the consumer. The consumer will fly, but I have less confidence in the government in a way how they are shaping the regulatory framework. Hopefully, by summer next year, this is all going to be behind us. But kind of going through the winter, I think this is still a question mark. But this is for the industry. But as far as Wizz Air is concerned, I think we are disproportionately advantaged by the reset of COVID-19. I mean, clearly we are looking at operating, significantly ahead of 2019 capacity levels going into next summer. I mean, we are already at 2019 levels. We continue to grow the fleet. of the airline. So we would be expecting a significant growth to be delivered by us going into next summer. But the industry will lag behind us for sure. I just don't know to what extent.
Many thanks. Appreciate your thoughts.
Thank you. Our next question is from John Glenn of Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Oh, hi there. Neil Glynn from Credit Suisse. I've just got two questions, please. The first one more short term, just trying to understand the trajectory of your profitability recovery, I guess, as we progress through the summer. You're operating a far higher proportion of A321s this summer than you were 2 years ago, and it's obviously a big plane to fill if you're having to discount. But just interested, are you seeing, I appreciate you won't give me specifics, but are you seeing a difference in the profitability per seat outlook for the 321s versus the 320s as you build your schedule through this summer? And then a second question, more longer term, again, back to the subject of carbon and jet fuel taxes. Per your comments earlier, about two-thirds of your exposure today will ultimately be exposed. And just interested, with higher costs, effective fuel costs, making it more difficult to stimulate demand, over time, does your network have to evolve as those costs rise to focus perhaps more on share from wealthier catchment areas rather than stimulating demand as this decade progresses? Thank you.
But with short-term profitability, I think it would be somewhat reluctant to give you a strong guidance, but I think you should be expecting a fairly reasonable quarter to be delivered with regard to summer. And as said, you know, we would not be there to guide for the second half, given the unpredictable nature of the regulatory framework. I think we need to understand first how governments react on the data that can then come, whatever comes, before we can really sort of sort out our plans accordingly. A321, I think the way to look at the A321 is that it's almost like you are getting all the incremental seats for free relative to the A320, to the old A320. It is such an efficient aircraft that you don't really suffer a penalty. The A321 is a more profitable aircraft than the A320 from an airline standpoint, and that principle pretty much applies no matter which time you look at it. I think it is even, you know, applicable in times of COVID. So we are very comfortable with the AC21. This is the right aircraft for Wizz, short term, medium term, long term, and this is what we are converting our fleet for. I will pass the carbon question to Jari, but let me just give a commentary on the higher fuel cost and whether that will translate into a structurally increased fares in case of Wizz. I don't think so. If you look at Wizz, we are trying to create quite a number of levers to get costs down, actually, unit costs down. I mean, one of them is fleet innovation, operating a younger fleet of aircraft. It is the technology, the A321neo versus the A320ceo. It is the gauging, the art of gauging. I mean, that's a significant source of unit cost reduction. You can imagine that we've been able to take advantage of airport deals, contracting some of these long-term investments in especially in new markets. I mean, that's another source of cost advantage. And yes, we will have some headwinds. Fuel could be, carbon could be, government imposed taxes or charges to recoup their investments into the industry could be another source of headwind. But we have a lot of initiatives to also create tailwinds in the business. So our objective would be to try to offset the headwinds coming with all the tailwinds what we can control and what we can leverage. And we actually have quite some initiatives on hand with that regard. So I don't think that higher fuel price would necessarily translate into higher fares and our inability, with regard to market stimulation. So I think we are still in the market stimulation game. We are well positioned to implement the model what we have, and we have a lot of tailwinds coming, especially through the fleet program and some of the commercial deals we have been able to put in place.
Yeah, I mean, very little to add here. I mean, technology clearly is the best edge against everything that is coming in that respect. And yes, there could be changes in underlying demand in network. You used to take your holidays as a Polish person in Greece. You may take it in whatever in Turkey because it's not part of the EEA zone, and you will just have a cheaper flight. So yes, there will be some movement if these policies really get passed.
Great, thank you both.
Thank you. Our final question is from Carolina Dawes of Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hi, hello, good morning, everyone. Three, if I may. One, when you think about ramping up the fleet to 500, how do you think about financing the fleet? Are you still 100% leased? Do you need to strengthen your debt to equity at some point in the medium term? Your thoughts on that. The second thing is, how should we think about medium and long-term margins, if there's been any change to the 13-15% target? And my last question is, if we think about 2023 as the recovery year, could we see margins in line with what is saw in by 2019 already? Thank you very much.
All right, thank you for the question. So with regard to the fleet 500 or this 500, as we call it, I think we're going to go with the market, to be honest. I mean, I know that many airlines kind of over-strategize kind of the financing structure of a fleet. I mean, we have been taking advantage of the market moves. I mean, clearly there are a few levers in our favor. I mean, one is that we are a very, very regarded credit for the market given our investment grade. Two, we are flying through the most wanted assets in the industry, the A321neo. And I think the combination of these two, being the best credit, flying the best asset, gives us very significant financial advantages. And we are trying to tap into pools of capital that best meet our requirements. And we have one single objective here, to finance an aircraft at the lowest cost. And sometimes it is sale and leaseback, sometimes it is some structured financing, and we will just simply see, you know, what's out there in the market. So I don't think that we have a specific target here. We will just go with the market and the market opportunities. So far, so good. And we will see how that changes. And, you know, if there are significant changes, that one line would be significantly better than the other. Obviously, we would be tailoring our approach accordingly. But we don't have a predetermined view on how exactly to structure the financing of these 500 aircraft. With regard to the margin performance, we used to say that we had a 15% model delivering 15% CAGR on growth at 15% margin, or roughly around 15% margin, 13 to 15% margin. And, you know, if we would become more profitable, then, you know, that money would get reinvested in the growth of the business. I think that kind of principle will continue to hold going forward. But now with the enhancement of growth, so we are looking at 20% growth. But we are looking at the 13 to 15% margin to be delivered. And it is not a trade-off against the margin. I think it is a trade-off based on the competitive advantages. But I think COVID is going to result for this through the fleet renewal, through the lack of debt and debt service in the business, through the commercial arrangements and through the market diversification what we have been building. I think that gives us that incremental kind of capacity growth opportunities going forward. And with regard to restoring the margin performance, I think largely we will be looking at the next financial year as a full year in terms of delivering proper operational KPIs as well as financial KPIs. But again, we shall see in what shape it will be in terms of operating restrictions.
Thank you.
Thank you. This now concludes our conference call. Thank you all for attending. You may now disconnect your lines.